Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians chapter 6, we've been teaching on the subject of prayer on these Wednesday evenings. And as we saw from the scriptures, there's all kinds of different prayers that you and I can pray. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Notice that, praying always with all prayer. Another translation says, praying different kinds of prayers. There's all kinds of different prayers. There isn't just one way to pray. There are several different ways to pray. So we want to learn all the different kinds of prayer that there are. How many people think prayer is important? Prayer is, that's what gives us everything we need in life. It's what connects us to God. It's our communication with our Creator. So just like if you got on a spaceship and you went to the moon, and you're on the moon and all of a sudden you're communicating with ground control, and the communications go down, and you're out there in space, right? And you're sitting there, you're on the moon, floating around up there, and there's no communication. It's completely shut down. And you need them to be able to get around up there and to be able to get back. That'd be a pretty scary thing, don't you think? I mean, you're just kind of lost out there without any communication. Well, it's a scary thing to go through life and not have communication with God. He is our ground control. He's the one that keeps us on course. He's the one that keeps us following His plan for our life. And we're not just drifting through life, not just wandering around and whatever happens, happens. I mean, you live like that and an asteroid might get you, right? I mean, you don't want to be just floating around in life. That's why a lot of folks, they're hit with all kinds of asteroids, all kinds of demonic things hitting them, bouncing off their life. They got holes in everything. And things are falling apart because they've lost communication. They've lost their prayer life. Some people never had one. They never knew how to pray correctly. A lot of folks just guess at how to pray. But we got to learn how to pray. And we learn how to pray by going to the Word of God. And there's all different kinds of prayer. We've covered several already. We talked about the prayer of intercession, which is praying for the lost. The prayer of agreement. We've talked about praying for those in authority. The prayer of consecration. Not my will, but your will be done. Praying that to the Lord. The prayer of faith. And the prayer of praise and worship and ministering to the Lord, which is where we left off last time. The prayer of praise and worship and ministering to the Lord. Many times when people are praying, it's all about them receiving from God. And we need to be receiving when we're praying, especially if we're praying the prayer of faith. When we come to God and we pray, we're to be believing, we're receiving, not when we're seeing the answer come to pass, but when we're praying. We're believing, we're receiving when we're praying. A lot of folks are praying and then waiting to see if it's going to happen, if they're going to get their prayers answered. And until they see something happen, until they see with their physical eyes, until they see their prayers answered, they don't believe they've received it. But that's not how faith works. That's not how praying in faith works. And we need to pray in faith, believing we receive it at the moment that we're praying. All right? So there is a receiving praying, but that's not the only kind of praying. Receiving praying needs to be balanced with giving praying. Giving praying. And that's what we were talking about last time, praise and worship. Ministering to the Lord. That's giving to Him. So we're coming and we're communicating with God, but we're giving to God. We're not just receiving from Him, not just taking from Him. And so we have to have that balance. We need to be asking and receiving and also giving. Also giving. And many times, it's to be happening in the same prayer time. Receiving praying and giving praying needs to be happening at the same time. And we see that over in a Philippians chapter 4. And let's pick it up here in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. Again. What does it say? Rejoice in the Lord always. 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 We always should be celebrating and rejoicing in the Lord. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Notice that. He says, verse 6 again, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer. By prayer and supplication with. Prayer with. Thanksgiving. Giving. See? So we're praying, asking, believing, we're receiving with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. And notice it's here at the same time. You're praying with thanksgiving. So we could say it this way. You're receiving and giving. You're receiving and giving. Receiving and giving. Receiving and giving. You got to watch about just going into prayer and just trying to receive. 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 That's why a lot of folks don't get anything. That's why they never see the things that they've asked for come to pass. They say, well, I believe I'll receive when I pray, but there's no thanksgiving attached to it. So it's kind of like having a device that needs batteries, but there's no batteries. You got the device, you got it, there it is, it's all set up, ready to go, it's wonderful. I pushed on, ooh, hallelujah, I pushed the on button. I believe I received. But you didn't put any batteries in it. So it's not going anywhere. The prayer's not going anywhere. You got to put some power behind that prayer. And there's power in giving. Jesus said it's more blessed to give. So what does he mean by that? Well, blessed means to be empowered. It's not just some kind of religious word, blessed. It means it's empowerment. To be blessed is to be empowered. So we can empower our prayer life through giving. And here's some at giving thanksgiving. Giving thanks to God. Lift your voice and thank him. And so we need to get that balance. And it should be easy for us because there's so much God has already done for us. And our believing we're going to receive from him has a lot to do with knowing what he's already done for us. Acknowledging what he's already done for us. If you can't acknowledge what he's already doing for you already, if you can't acknowledge what he's already doing in your life, what he's already done in your life already, and then you're going to go in there and believe you receive what you have need of, it's going to make it a whole lot harder. We need to be very aware of how good he is and how much he has already done and how much he's doing. And the more we're aware of that, the easier it's going to be to receive more from him. And that's why a lot of folks are stuck because you don't get any more than you're thankful for. So they're coming to him and they're not thankful. A lot of folks, many times they get just caught up in their problems. Jesus had this problem with his own disciples. I mean, time and time again, you know, here's his followers. They're walking with him. And there was a time they went out on a boat and they got out there. Jesus had just finished feeding multitudes of people. Just performed this incredible miracle. Fed thousands of people. They get out on the boat and all of a sudden they got all anxious and concerned because they didn't bring any bread with them. And they're in the boat with the one who just created bread for thousands of people out of a little piece of nothing, just a little bread. He fed thousands with it. They just witnessed this. They were a part of this miracle. And just a little while later, they're anxious about not having bread in the boat with them. What was their problem? Why were they anxious about their circumstances? Because they had just totally forgotten what he just did for them. I mean, they should have been in that boat talking about it, thanking God for it, rejoicing. Whoo, hallelujah, look what he's done. If they had continued to rejoice and think about what God had done for them, what they had just witnessed, and remained in a state of thankfulness, then they never would have gotten anxious over not having bread in the boat. But that happened time and time, even with them. And so we've got to watch ourselves. We've got to guard ourselves that we don't sit and get so caught up in a problem. All of a sudden a bill comes in, something you weren't expecting happens, and all of a sudden that's where the mind goes. And we just forget about everything. We forget about the testimony you just were giving last week to somebody about something else. That's all forgotten now. And now all we can think about is this problem is, oh God, we got to get this straightened out. And many times you can't get it straightened out being in that place where you're just focused on the problem and not thankful for all the problems he's already solved in your life, like thousands and thousands and millions of problems he's already solved for you. How many times? Over and over and over and over and over. You know, it's an amazing thing. How many times has he come through for us? How many times has he helped us, delivered us? How many times? I mean, he has come through an innumerable amount of times. And yet we're going to be over here all worried about this time, all caught up in this time, because we're forgetting about all the other times. So that's why we have to remind ourselves of what he's done for us, and then thanksgiving flows. Thanksgiving flows. And thanksgiving also helps keep reminding you. So, you know, we remember and we thank him. And as we thank him, we remember. Many times when you start thanking him, you'll start thinking of more things to be thankful for. Once you start going, you thank him for this, and then it's like, and for this, and this. And you just keep going. I mean, you just get caught up in the flow of thanksgiving. Other things will start coming to your mind. And suddenly this issue that has arisen just gets smaller and smaller and smaller, less and less of a problem. I mean, if he brought me this far, he could take me the rest of the way, right? If he can get us through the babyhood stage of life, you know, where you couldn't feed yourself, you couldn't stand up, you couldn't communicate, you couldn't do anything, and yet you survived. If you got past that time, you can get through this time. But he's the one that brought us through. He's the one that's with us. He's the one that protects us. So we should be filled with thanksgiving. So we got to have that balance. And that's when we start having a very, very effective communication with God. Communication becomes very effective when we are full of thanksgiving. The word here in the Greek, thanksgiving, means gratitude, grateful to God as an act of worship. So again, just connecting to what we talked about last week, you know, it's all part of worship. That's how we worship him, as we're thanking him, as we're giving him praise for what he's done for us. Now, the King James version of this, where it says in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, it says it this way. It says, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Careful. In other words, full of cares. Well, a person that's anxious, a person that's worried, is a person that's full of cares. How many people know we're supposed to be full of something? And it's not cares. We're supposed to be full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Spirit of God. Full of him. So here it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So here he's telling us that by being thankful, we are going to protect ourselves from being careful, being full of care. The cure to being careful is being thankful. Being thankful is the cure for being careful or anxious, worried. So if you're worried and you're anxious, what do you need to do? People do all kinds of things to cure themselves of the anxiety. But here it is right here. He tells you exactly how to overcome anxiety. He tells you exactly how to overcome worry. Be thankful. See, because again, if you're worried and anxious, it's because you're just focused on that problem. You're not focused on the answer and the one that has answered you time and time again and helped you over and over and over. You've lost sight of that. So you need to come over here and start being thankful. And be specific. You know, don't just sit there and go, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, you can do that, but are you thinking about something specific that you're thankful for? See, it's not just in the words. A lot of folks just try to turn everything into a formula. You know, you just say these words. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's not working. 20 more times. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I did it. Nothing changed. See, it's not some kind of chant that we do. We're actually being thankful for something. We're full of thanksgiving, right? And that's going to keep you from being full of cares, full of worries, full of anxieties. So just stop thinking about the problem for a moment, start thinking about him and what he has already done for you in times past. Now, sometimes that's difficult because you got this thing going on in your mind and you've got demonic spirits screaming and yelling and you're getting all this demonic pressure and you got all this stuff going on, lots and lots of noise going on in the mind. And sometimes it's tough to be able to hone in on a bunch of things that God has done for you. But you got to do it. I said you got to do it. In fact, I would say let's get Thanksgiving going first before we even start requesting things. Before you even make your request, just go ahead and start. Let's just start it off with Thanksgiving. Doesn't the Bible say enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise? It says to start. Let's start off that way. So let's start that way. Hey, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. You know, I think about the last time I was going through something just like this and you brought me through that and we overcame that and I'm so thankful for that. And you just start thanking him and start thinking and be thankful and think and be thankful, think and be thankful. And then all of a sudden when it's time for you to actually ask, believing you receive it, man, it's easy. You just take it, praise God. Hallelujah. And then you thank him some more for that. Thank him that you already got it. So thanking him gets us in a position to receive. And then once we receive, immediately we should begin thanking him if we really believe we received it. And if you're not really sure if you received it, then obviously you're not going to be very thankful. But a sure sign that you believe you received when you prayed is that you're already thanking God for it before you see it. Before you even see it, you're over here thanking him for it because you believe you received it. So it's as good as done. You got it. Now you're just excited to see it. You're excited to see it. Not hoping to see it. You're not wondering if you'll see it. You're excited to see it. You know it's coming. It's all coming to pass. Amen. Now look at this also here. He says, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Man, that's just as a result of praying with thanksgiving. You'll have peace, the peace of God guarding you. Now that word peace in the Greek language is eirene. Eirene. And you actually spell it E-I-R-E-N-E. But you pronounce it eirene. And it means a state of tranquility. A state of tranquility, harmony, security, safety, prosperity, and it all comes because of praying with thanksgiving. Praying to God with thanksgiving, it'll cause harmony in your home. It'll cause there to be harmony in relationships. If we're praying correctly, security, safety, and prosperity. Glory be to God. How many people want to prosper and succeed and do better in life? Well, be thankful on the job. Stop whining about everything and be thankful for your job. Thankful for what you have. Thankful for what you have. We have no money. Well, what do you have? Well, we have a can of sardines and some crackers in the pantry. Give him thanks. He multiplies stuff like that, doesn't he? He increases stuff like that. Remember, what did Jesus do to bring the increase, to cause that little boy's lunch to prosper and feed thousands of people? What did he do? Bible said he lifted it up to God and he thanked him. He gave thanks to God. He gave thanks to God for it. And it prospered. Be thankful for what you do have. Well, this isn't working. Well, what is working? Well, I don't have this. Well, what do you have? Thank him for what you have. And that's how you prosper and increase and do better and better and better in life. So it's the key to being free of lack. Being free of lack and confusion, pressure, anxiety, praying with thanksgiving. And then it says, I love this, it says, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, the devil's onslaught against us is against our minds. His big attack is on the mind. He plays mind games with people. So we need our minds to be guarded, protected from the devil. Well, here the peace of God will do that if we'll pray with thanksgiving. Now that word guard means to protect by a military guard. I love this. I'm talking about the original language of that word guard. To protect by a military guard, either to prevent hostile invasion or to keep the inhabitants of a besieged city from flight. So in other words, that peace will guard the enemy from getting in and will guard you from running away, from running out of your place because of fear, because of anxiety, because of pressure, because of the thoughts of the devil. Cause you to get out of your place and be put to flight by the enemy. Man, the peace of God will cause you to stay in your place, stand your ground, and not be moved, and not be shaken. The word guard means to protect by watching and guarding. Keep with a garrison. Your mind will be kept with a garrison. This is the guarding that goes on. And that means a garrison are troops stationed in an area to defend it. So there'll be troops all around you defending you. Sounds like angels. Amen. Peace is a militia. It's your own private army. Protecting your heart and protecting your mind. I like that. I want to be surrounded by like Secret Service men in the spirit, you know? Have a bunch of militia all around, have a militia all around me, guarding me, protecting me. I mean, if think about it, we're talking about a peace that can't be rattled. I mean, you're so in peace, it's like being in the middle of an army that's surrounding you to protect you. I mean, nothing can get through, nothing can torment you, nothing can trouble you. You're just in the midst of this army. That's what this peace will do for your mind. Hallelujah. Everything works that way in the kingdom of God. There's the law of giving and receiving. Giving and receiving. So we're giving and we're receiving. We're giving thanks and we're receiving what we're asking God for. We're giving thanks and we're receiving what we're asking God for and then giving him thanks for what we believe we received. So there's thanksgiving going on both ends. What you're asking for should be sandwiched between thanksgiving and thanksgiving. Your request should be sandwiched between thanksgiving and thanksgiving. You're thankful for what he's already done, and then you're thankful you received what you asked for. Thankful, 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 thankful. Thankful, 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 thankful. Thankful. We're the most thankful people on the face of the earth. Faith people are thankful people. People that are receiving from God. People that have a good communication with God. These are thankful people. Hallelujah. Happy, rejoicing, praising Him. That's who we are. How many people think they can up it a little bit? Let's up it. Let's do it. Let's be more thankful. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Again, earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So it's not one isolated scripture. In fact, you go to the Old Testament, and there's a lot about thanksgiving. The Psalms are full of thanksgiving. Offerings that were given, the sacrifices that were given, were to be presented with thanksgiving. That's what makes it effective. Because that's how faith is. Faith is so thankful. Faith is just lost in all the good things God has done for it. So lost in what God has done for it. It's not worried about anything. Colossians 4:2 in the Amplified Bible. It says, be persistent and devoted to prayer. We can all go home right now. Praise God. We got work to do. Be persistent and devoted to prayer. See, in other words, a person that is devoted to prayer and persistent, that's not a person that waits to see if they have time to pray. Yeah, I just didn't have time to pray. That's not a person that's devoted. That's not a person that's persistent. A person that's persistent and devoted, they make time to pray. They don't try to find time to pray. They make time. They make time. It's a part of their daily schedule to get with God, to communicate with Him. Now, of course, it doesn't stop there. You know, I believe there's private time where we need to get alone with Him. And then there's, throughout the day, we're thanking Him. Throughout the day, we're praising Him. Throughout the day, we're worshiping Him, right? Always. Rejoicing always. Thanking Him always. Not just when we're asking for things, but thanking Him always. But of course, a lot of times, we are asking Him for things. Because we need Him for everything. I said we need Him for everything. I was praying and worshiping God this morning, and I was just thinking, and I said to Him, I said, Lord, I said, I'm feeling more like a child all the time. And I'm thinking, is this okay? You know, I mean, I feel childish. Not childish, but childlike. I feel like a child. You know, just so dependent. So dependent on God. So dependent on everything. And, of course, the scripture that comes right to mind is when Jesus said, He said, that we're to become like little children. Everybody say become. So it's something we're to become, to be becoming. It's something we become. So if we're really growing in faith, growing in God, then we are becoming more like a child. In that we're becoming more dependent on Him. We're becoming more needful of Him in our life. We're recognizing we need Him for everything. So we're becoming more and more like a child as we grow in faith. We grow up spiritually, becoming more like a child, looking to Him, trusting Him. So we need to spend time with Him. We need to get alone with Him. We can't imagine going through a day without taking time and communicating with God. We have to do it. So let's go back here, Colossians. In the Amplified, be persistent and devoted to prayer, being alert and focused in your prayer life with an attitude of thanksgiving, an attitude of gratitude. We should never have a bad attitude. If you got a bad attitude, it's because you ain't got no gratitude. Huh? And a lot of folks, they're not going anywhere in life. They have no altitude because they have a bad attitude because they have no gratitude, and so they're grounded. We don't want to be grounded, right? We want to be going higher and higher and higher and higher. Get more and more altitude. We're going higher, increasing in our altitude. But to increase in your altitude. How many want to go higher?
Yes.
How many want to stay grounded? How can we go higher? How can we increase our altitude? By fixing our attitude. And how do we fix our attitude? By having gratitude. Praise God. Gratitude. That'll get you higher in life. The ERV translation, the easy read version. Never stop praying. Be ready for anything by praying and being thankful. I love that. Be ready for anything. See, the other translation said, being alert and focused. In other words, it's going to be hard for the devil to catch a prayer by surprise. A person that is truly praying, it's going to be hard to catch them by surprise. Because they're alert. They're focused spiritually. They're sharp spiritually. They're attentive to what's going on spiritually. So things don't catch them by surprise. They're on top of it. And you're ready for anything. Ready for anything. How many want to be ready for anything in life? We got to be ready for anything. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what the rest of this day holds. We pray it's just blessings and wonderful things. But we live in a cursed earth and there's demons. And there's lost people. And so we don't know, you know, what the future holds. There's all kinds of trials and tests waiting out there and hiding. But we'll not be caught off guard, we'll not be surprised, and we'll be ready for it. So therefore, we're not worried about it. See, again, it deals with worry. If you're ready, you won't worry. If you're ready, you won't worry. Because you're ready. And you know you're ready. When stuff happens, you're ready. You might not be happy about it, but you're ready. And you're thankful God's with you. And we will get through this. And this will change. And it will turn around for my good and for God's glory. And that's a good prayer to pray. When something happens, seems like things are going wrong, great response to it is, Father, I ask you to turn this thing around for my good and your glory. Or if it involves other people, turn it around for their good and for your glory. And I thank you for it. Hallelujah. Woo, this whole thing's turning around for my good and for his glory. See, you go from praying it to just confessing it. Speaking it out as though it's already done. It's happening. It's happening. It's all turning around for my good and for God's glory. That's a good prayer to pray. But you'll be ready. I want to live life ready, don't you? Prayers are ready. So many people are caught off guard. Things happen and they get rattled. They get rattled and then anxiety and fear and all these things grip them and they get overwhelmed by things that they could have easily just walked right through and overcome. But because they weren't ready, just like Jesus' disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, before going to the cross, he said, watch and pray. It sounds like this right here. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Be vigilant in your prayers with thanksgiving. Be alert and focused in your prayer life. See, Jesus, he knew what was coming. He was on top of it. Nothing caught Jesus by surprise. He wasn't caught by surprise. He didn't walk around anxious. He knew what was coming. He knew his hour had come. He knew what was awaiting him. He knew everything that was going on. He understood who Judas was from the very beginning. He knew those who would betray him. He understood all those things. He was sharp. And so he was ready. He knew that night what was ahead of them. And so he was trying to tell his disciples, pray. You need to be praying, guys. Think about it. Here they are walking with Jesus and they're not praying. You know, we got to watch about getting over into familiarity with our relationship with the Lord. We got to watch about being over in a place saying, well, I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm saved. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And we just go through life without really having a watchful, vigilant, devoted prayer life. And it's just like this, it's all light and fluffy. And here are the disciples. They got Jesus. We're good. We got Jesus. We got Jesus. He's right here with us. No worries. I got Jesus. Well, pray. You got Jesus, but Jesus is still saying something. He's saying, pray. I'm glad you're born again. I'm glad you're a child of God. I'm glad you've got God in your life. Now, pray. Watch and pray. So, you know what? Just because you're born again and just because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that doesn't do away with the fact that you need to watch and pray. And they needed to. And because they didn't, they got scattered. They got scattered. They got all messed up that night. And for a few days, they were a mess. And if it wasn't for Jesus coming back in there and pulling them out of that mess, they were headed in a bad direction. Peter himself had completely denied the Lord. I mean, he's so zealous and on fire for God and turned right around and denied the Lord. Why? Because prayerlessness. Believed in the Lord, zealous for the Lord, on fire for God, sleeping there, right there next to Jesus, out there in the wilderness, camping out with Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And yet, denied the Lord, ran in fear from his enemies, denied the Lord. So Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he had to reinstate Peter. Because Peter had denied Jesus three times. That's why Jesus came to Peter after he rose from the dead and asked him three times, do you love me? Because he was reinstating him. And in fact, he said to Peter the night before, right before Peter was going to betray him, Jesus said to him, or deny him, I should say, not really betray, but denied him. Jesus said to him, Satan has desired to sift you, Peter, like wheat. But when you return to me, strengthen the brethren. Notice that statement. When you return to me. What do you mean? You're going to leave me. Not just physically, but you're going to confess you don't know me. You're going to deny me. And you know, confessing gets us in. And confessing can get you out. And he denied him with his words. And Jesus said, when you return to me. He left the Lord. Because of why? Prayerlessness. He wasn't devoted to prayer. He didn't take prayer seriously. He wasn't vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Amen? So prayer, peace, thanksgiving, which is praise and worship, we see here in the Word of God that it's all a part of spiritual warfare. Praying is spiritual warfare. Thanksgiving is spiritual warfare. God's peace is like having a military around your mind. It's spiritual warfare. And we are in a spiritual war. So we have to be armored up. We need to be guarded. We need to be protected in this battle. And we need to be, if we're going to take ground, if we're going to go further in life, then we're going to have to be able to overcome and conquer our enemies. And prayer, peace, and thankfulness are keys to making that happen. And you can't just sit there and say, I bind you in Jesus' name. That's not all there is to it. There's having a prayer life, which gives you the peace of God, which puts a garrison around you, right? Being thankful to him, worshiping him. We saw last week that God told Jehoshaphat to cause the people to go out against the enemy and just start praising and worshiping God. And as they praised and worshiped God, the enemy was defeated. That really happened in the physical, but it was a spiritual lesson for you and I on how to get the victory in life. Thanksgiving, praising God, worshiping him, exalting him. Sometimes all you got to do to deal with the devil is just start thanking God and rejoicing in him. There's been many a times where the enemy's come and he's tried to mess with me. But I've turned right around and started laughing and rejoicing in Jesus. Just started laughing. See, he wanted to get an anxiety response out of it. He wanted to get a fear reaction. But instead, he got thanksgiving and peace. And that thanksgiving and peace just, I lost sight of him. He disappeared in the garrison. He just disappeared. And that peace just took care of it. Sometimes that's all you got to do. But we see that if you go back to Ephesians, our text, Ephesians chapter 6, prayer is spiritual warfare. Now, we started here in verse 18 where it says, praying always with all prayer. But if you look at that word praying, it's a small p. It's not a capital letter. Because it's a part of what was being said before it. What does the verse before it say? And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always. With all prayer. See, what's he talking about in the verse before? Or the verses before? He's talking about the armor of God. See, go back all the way back. It starts actually in verse 10. See, we were looking at verse 18 as our text, but it's connected to the previous verses. So in its context, he is talking about spiritual warfare. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Prayer causes you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Praying with thanksgiving, of course. Praying with thanksgiving makes you strong in the Lord, because verse 10 is connected to verse 18. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemings of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Listen, behind your problems in life are demons. We got to remind ourselves that we are not limited to flesh and blood here. That is not our real battle. That is not our real argument. Our real problems are rooted in the spirit realm. And they are demons. Demon spirits. Evil spirits. Inspiring people. Blinding people. Guiding people in the wrong direction to say the wrong thing. Act the wrong way. And so all this demonic pressure is coming. It's not just flesh and blood. I mean, listen. You're at the grocery store. You're having a great day. You come up to the cashier. She's got a devil tormenting her. That devil looks at you, doesn't like you. And next thing you know, her bad or his bad attitude is suddenly getting all over you. Well, can an attitude, somebody else's attitude really get all over you? Well, a spirit can. See? Because it's more than just an attitude. It's a spirit. And so when a person's yielding to a spirit, just they can look at you the wrong way. People can say something and it's so full of demonic venom that you feel the poison of that thing. There's a bite to it. There's a sting to it. It's like a scorpion. It's like something just bit you. It's like, why am I letting that person's attitude bother me so much? Why am I letting that person saying that or doing that bother me so much? Because it's not the person. It's a supernatural thing that's taking place. It's demonic. And even Peter yielded to the devil. Jesus had to say to the apostle Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. So, I mean, if Peter himself fell, there's a good chance you probably missed it here and there. You might have yielded to the devil a couple times. And there may be some other people that have come into your life and have yielded to the devil. In fact, it's happened quite a bit to all of us. But thank God we can get over into prayer. We can spend time with the Lord. And in prayer, that's where we put on that whole armor of God. And we are prepared and we're ready for anything. We're ready to stand against the schemings of the devil. He says in verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I'll tell you exactly how you get all those things on. Thanking God for them. Thanking God for them. Thank God that you're the righteousness of God in him. That's how you get that breastplate of righteousness on. You got to get that breastplate of righteousness on. How do you do it? Ooh, thank you, Lord, that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Put that helmet of salvation. Hey, how do you do that? Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you for delivering me from every evil thing. Thank you, Lord, that I have eternal life, that I'm going to spend eternity with you in heaven. Oh, thank you, Lord. Man, you got a helmet on. Gird your waist with truth. Oh, thank you for the truth. Thank you for the word. Aren't you thankful for the word? So thankful for the word. Thank you, Lord, for what we know. Thank you for what you have taught us. Especially when you think about how many people are in the world and they don't know half of what you know. We know these things. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the truth. When you do that, you put your belt on. And as you lose weight, you keep thanking him because it tightens the belt so it doesn't slip off. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. See, there's fiery darts behind things that people say and things that happen in life. There's fiery darts. People start having thoughts, and next thing you know, feelings start burning in them. In their soul, things start happening. Anxiety, fear, whatever it might be. And it's because it's more than a thought. It's a fiery dart. It's a fiery dart. But it can be quenched with faith. Faith in God quenches it. What happens if you don't have faith? You just burn up. You get burned out. People get burned out, burned up. Right? Why? Because they didn't have faith to quench the fiery dart. Why? Because they don't have a prayer life. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and keep praying for yourself. No. And pray for me and for me, that utterance may be given to me. That's another thing, too. You got to watch about just praying for yourself. He says, hey, and pray for me. Pray for me. I know you pray a lot. Pray for me. We got to watch where our prayers are all about ourselves. We're just praying for ourselves. We don't want to just be caught up in praying for ourselves. We want to be praying for others. And, of course, that's going to affect you. Because there's more to your life than just you. Other people affect your life. We all need other people. God works through other people, so we need to be praying for others as well. But this, see how it's all a part in its context. It's talking about spiritual warfare. It's talking about having the armor, having the protection, and having your weapons to be able to stand against the devil and to be able to succeed in life. So we need to be watchful. We need to be vigilant in our praying. Can you say amen? There's a time in prayer where you will need to exercise authority over the devil. Like I said, sometimes just thanking God, just praising him is enough. But then sometimes you've got to talk to the devil. You've got to speak to him. And Jesus, of course, showed us that over in Mark, the 16th chapter. Mark 16. We have to use authority, our authority in prayer. Because you have to understand, even when it comes to dealing with the devil, you're doing it with God. We're not dealing with the devil on our own. I like what happened with Smith Wigglesworth. One time he was dealing with someone that was demon-possessed. And he walked in the room with all the intention of casting the demon out. And the demon inside this person, the demons inside this person, looked and saw Smith Wigglesworth, knew who he was. And the demons spoke up. And Smith Williams was a great man of faith, did tremendous, great exploits through faith in God. And the demons spoke up in this man and said, "You can't cast me out. You can't cast me out." And he looked and said, "No, but Jesus can. In his name, come out." And out he came. In his name, come out. See, you can't cast me out. See, the devil would like to isolate you apart from God. He would like you to get all focused on you and the promises of God It's just you there speaking the word of God. It's just you using the authority of the name of Jesus. Well, friend, when you use the name of Jesus, Jesus is there. When you speak the name of Jesus, Jesus is there. He is working with you. He is doing this thing through you, through your faith. So that is praying. When you're taking authority over the devil, it's praying because it's communicating with God, not just with the devil. You don't want to see yourself just communicating with the devil. He'll whip you. You're communicating with God to the devil. We're not just having a conversation with the devil. So the devil would try to talk to Jesus. Jesus says, shut up. Be quiet. Be quiet and come out. Oh, can we have a little conversation? So he'd like to get a little conversation going and get something going between you and him. No, my conversation is with God to you. I'm working with God to deal with you. But God's doing it with us. See, that's where a lot of folks may say, devil, in the name of Jesus. And it's just them and the devil. In the name of Jesus. But yet Jesus isn't there. They're not really involving him in what they're doing. I think Smith Wigglesworth is a great example of that. The devil tried to get him isolated in his thinking, apart from God. He said, you can't cast me out. Instead of him saying, yes, I can. Yes, I can. I have authority in the name. I have authority in the name of Jesus. And he said, yeah, but Jesus can. And he's really the one that's going to drive you out. The power of the Holy Spirit is what's going to drive you out, devil. I'm not going to do it. Believers will lay hands on the sick. We're going to read that in a moment. Believers will lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. See? Now, a lot of folks, they just, all they see is their hand. And they're laying hands on a sick person, and they're more focused on their hand and them having to get that person healed. God never said, you're the one that's going to get him healed. He's the one that does the work. He does the work. All he's asking is for your hand. So you just put your hand out there and say, Jesus, he does the work. Jesus actually does it. It's not you trying to do it with your hand in the name of Jesus. I'm going to say that again. It's not you trying to do it with your hand in the name of Jesus. It's Jesus doing it through your hand. Not hard. Jesus. When you say his name, he said, I'm there. Didn't he say that? Matthew 18, when you say his name, he's there. Glory to God. He's there. He's here. He's here. Praise God. Whatever we need, he's here. He said in verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. Now notice these are signs that we don't create. They're not things that we produce. He said they follow. They just follow us around. When we speak the name of Jesus, these signs will follow. He didn't say, these signs you will create, you will produce. They'll follow you. So you got to get the pressure off of you and put your faith on him. See, a lot of people put faith in their own faith. You got to get this. People put faith in their own faith. I learned this years ago. I had a situation. I was in a very bad situation, and I couldn't get out of it. And I was using my faith. And I was focused on my faith. And I was using my faith and I was doing everything I knew to do. And it wasn't getting any better. And then I got the revelation that it's already done. It's already done. Jesus has already taken care of this. I just act upon what he said. I just believe what he says. Speak it forth. And that's it. And it's done. But you see, I was trying to make it. I was trying to bring the promise of God to pass. You don't bring the promise of God to pass. It just follows you. The word, the manifestations of God just follow us. We're not trying anything. Isn't that nice? It's so easy.
I don't know if I can do it.
Well, you're not going to do it. Right? He said, believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. He didn't say the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and those that are very seasoned in the things of God and the most highly skilled and spiritual will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. It's got nothing to do with your skill. It's got everything to do with him. See, it's not on us. It's on him. Faith puts all the pressure on him. Faith doesn't take any of the pressure. See, it's careful for nothing. No pressure. No worries. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. But notice, it follows us. We speak and it follows. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will recover. Now notice, again, in verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. Do we have any believers in here? All right, this is for you then. In my name, they will cast out demons. We could say it this way. In my name, believers will exercise authority over the devil. Because that's what he's saying there. Believers will exercise authority over the devil. Now, a lot of folks go praying to God about the devil. And they're asking God to deal with the devil. Crying out to God, take the devil away, deal with the devil, God. But God's not going to do anything with the devil. That responsibility has been given to us. That authority has been given to us. And when we exercise that authority, then heaven backs that up. God's presence comes in and takes care of it. But apart from us, God's not going to do it for us, but he'll do it through us as we take the authority that he has given us. And even Paul the Apostle ran into this problem over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He's over there crying out to God concerning this thorn in the flesh that a messenger of Satan had given him. And he was crying out to God that that God would take it away from him. He said, 3 times I asked the Lord to take it away. And it wasn't going anywhere. And he said, then I got a revelation. Then the Lord spoke to me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul understood that the power of God is upon his life to deal with these thorns in the flesh that were coming against him. And instead of crying out to God to do something about it, he went ahead and dealt with it with the grace of God. And that took care of it. Amen? So there's a lot of things people are asking God for. And no, it's something that we got to just rise up and deal with it in the name of Jesus, knowing that God will back us up. He does more through us than he does for us. I said he does more things through us than he does for us. A lot of people are waiting for God to do things for them when God's waiting for you to get up and do some things so he can work through you. Can you say amen? Very important things to understand when we pray. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.